Okay, so you sent over some interesting material on this Gary Outdoor advertising
Yeah.
case. This seems like it could be a pretty crucial case, huh?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
When it comes to contract law
For sure.
and especially how appellate courts actually function.
Yeah.
We're diving into a dispute today about advertising signs, a missed payment, and its journey through the Arizona court system.
Yeah.
And it seems like there are some really important takeaways here about, the idea of damages
For
and the
sure.
role of those higher courts.
Yeah.
We've got a detailed case brief here, a standard legal brief, and even some notes that highlight the core elements. So our mission today is to extract the most impactful insights from all of this stuff.
Awesome. Sounds good.
So what really stands out to you about this case in particular?
Well, I think the most fascinating thing about this case is how it brings together several fundamental principles of contract law and civil procedure. It really shows, how seemingly straightforward contract language can end up leading to some significant legal complexities.
Yeah.
And it illustrates the multi-layered review process within our judicial
But
system.
sure, for sure. Okay, so let's lay the groundwork.
Okay.
Back in 1977, Gary Outdoor Advertising and Sun Lodge entered into these two lease agreements for those roadside advertising signs.
Yeah.
Rex Bishop signed on behalf of Sun Lodge.
Right.
These weren't short-term agreements, they
No.
were for a full 36 months.
Right.
But then Sun Lodge stopped making their payments very early on.
Yeah.
That failure to pay is what really set this whole legal process in motion.
Yeah.
What really jumps out at you about those initial facts?
Well, the 3-year term immediately signals a pretty significant commitment
Right.
from a business perspective for Gary Outdoor,
For sure.
with an expectation of, sustained revenue coming in.
Right.
So that early cessation of payments definitely constitutes a breach of contract.
Right.
The fact that Rex Bishop signed on behalf of Sun Lodge is typical,
Okay.
but it becomes important later on when we see that the lawsuit also targeted him and Mona Bishop personally.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. So these contracts also contain a couple of clauses that kind of raise an eyebrow.
Yeah.
The first one was a clause that perpetually waived the statute of limitations,
Uh-huh.
essentially saying that Gary Outdoor could sue Sun Lodge whenever they wanted, no matter how much time had passed.
Yeah.
And then the second one was this clause that said if Sun Lodge defaulted on the payments, they would owe the entire remaining balance of the lease. So you definitely want to keep both of these points in mind, because they become central to the legal battle here.
Gotcha.
And this is where things get really interesting.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, perpetual waivers of the statute of limitations,
Yeah.
those are generally viewed with a lot of skepticism by the courts.
Right.
I mean, you can think of the statute of limitations kind of like a legal time limit
Yeah.
for bringing a lawsuit,
Yeah.
Perpetual waivers can really create this ongoing uncertainty.
Yeah.
And they could potentially disadvantage defendants who might lose, crucial evidence or even witnesses over really long periods of time.
Yeah, definitely. And then that full payment clause upon default that you mentioned,
Yeah.
that immediately raises a red flag for me
Okay.
about whether it's a fair estimate of damages or if it might actually be an unfair penalty.
Right. So Gary Outdoor ended up taking Sun Lodge and its officers, Rex and Mona Bishop, to court personally.
Wow.
And initially, the trial court granted partial summary judgment against the bishops, finding them personally liable.
Okay.
But then the court had kind of a change of heart and declared the entire contract void
Interesting.
because they said that perpetual waiver of the statute of limitations was
Yeah.
against public policy,
Right.
basically something that the law considers fundamentally unfair or even harmful to society.
Yeah.
So that seems like a huge legal U-turn, right?
Yeah, it is a pretty significant shift. The initial partial summary judgment suggests that the trial court might have found some reason to hold the bishops personally responsible.
Okay.
Maybe something related to, their ownership or continued use of the signs,
Okay.
but then to completely invalidate the entire agreement
Right.
based on that statute of limitations waiver,
Yeah.
that shows a fundamental reevaluation of these contract law principles
Right.
and, ideas of societal fairness.
Totally. Okay, so Gary Outdoor wasn't satisfied with that outcome,
Yeah.
and they appealed the decision.
Okay.
And this is where the whole appellate review process comes into play.
Yeah.
So the Arizona Supreme Court actually agreed with the trial court's final decision
Okay.
that Sun Lodge wasn't liable, but for totally different reasons.
Interesting.
They weren't really concerned about that perpetual statute of limitations waiver in this case
Okay.
because the lawsuit was actually filed. file within the standard legal time frame.
Yeah.
So what became the main point of contention for them then?
So this is a perfect example of how appellate courts work.
Okay.
The Supreme Court's focus shifted to that clause about the damages.
Right.
Since the lawsuit was filed, you know, in the regular time limit,
right,
the perpetual waiver issue was basically irrelevant.
Okay.
In this specific case.
So then the court focused on whether that clause demanding the full remaining lease payments upon default,
yeah,
was a legitimate attempt to like pre-estimate potential losses, which is, you know, what we call liquidated damages,
right,
or whether it was really an unenforceable penalty, yeah, that was designed to punish SunLodge.
Okay, interesting. So the Supreme Court zeroed in on that clause requiring full payment if SunLodge defaulted.
Yeah.
And they concluded that it wasn't a legit liquidated damages clause. You know, like a reasonable estimate of potential harm that's agreed upon in advance.
You're right.
But instead they decided that it was an unenforceable penalty.
Okay.
So why do you think that is? Because it didn't have any reasonable connection to the actual harm that Gary Outdoor actually experienced.
Okay.
You know, like demanding the entire contract price, regardless of how early the breach happened.
Yeah.
And without any proof of actual financial losses.
Yeah.
That seems more like punishment than like fair compensation.
Right.
And the court even emphasized Arizona's strong stance against enforcing penalties in contracts.
Right. Yeah. And that distinction between, you know, legitimate liquidated damages,
yeah,
and an unenforceable penalty.
Yeah.
That's so crucial to understand, right?
It really is. You know, liquidated damages clauses are acceptable.
Okay.
When the parties try in good faith to, like, you know, forecast,
yeah,
potential losses when the contract is first made.
Right.
Especially in situations where it might be really difficult to calculate actual damages later on.
Okay.
But if the main purpose of the clause is to punish the party that breaks the contract,
right,
rather than to compensate the party that didn't break it for their losses,
yeah, yeah,
then courts will step in and refuse to enforce it.
Yeah.
The real test is, you know, whether there's a reasonable relationship to the actual harm that's, mm-hmm, likely to come from the breach.
Right, right. Okay, so the Supreme Court also pointed out that Gary Outdoor failed to provide any evidence of their actual damages.
Oh, wow.
They just relied on that penalty clause in the contract.
Okay.
So this is like a really important lesson for anyone who's involved in contract disputes.
Yeah.
You have to be able to show the real financial harm that you suffered.
Right.
So what does all of this mean for someone who's studying or working in law?
It means that even if you have a contract with what seems like a really clear damages provision,
yeah,
you can't just present that clause in court and expect to get the full amount,
right,
if the court decides that it's a penalty.
Okay.
You have to actually prove the actual financial losses,
right,
that you had as a direct result of the breach.
Yeah.
This could mean presenting things like evidence of lost profits,
yeah,
expenses that you had because of the breach.
Yeah.
And any efforts that you made to try to minimize those losses.
Right. You know, the court specifically said that appellant did not present any evidence for actual damages.
Right.
And that was the main problem with their case.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And this leads us to another really important aspect of this case,
right,
which is appellate review.
Yeah.
Sometimes the final outcome is actually more important,
yeah,
than the initial reasoning behind it.
Okay.
So the Arizona Supreme Court said that an appellate court isn't bound by the trial court's legal conclusions.
Right.
They can affirm a lower court's judgment if the ultimate decision is legally correct.
Okay.
Even if the reasoning that the trial court used to get there was flawed.
Interesting.
So in this case, the trial court's reasoning about the statute of limitations was wrong.
Okay.
But their judgment in favor of SunLodge was still upheld.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't enough evidence about the actual damages.
Right.
So this shows how important it is to focus on the correct legal principles.
Yeah.
Even if the lower court kind of stumbles along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is a really important point about how the appellate process works.
Yeah.
Appellate courts do what we call a de novo review.
Okay.
Of the trial court's legal conclusions.
Okay.
That basically means that they don't give any special weight or deference to what the lower court thought.
Right.
If the appellate court thinks that the trial court got to the right decision in the end,
yeah,
even if their legal reasoning was a little off,
right,
they can still uphold that judgment.
Okay.
So the statement, you know, an appellate court is not bound by a trial court's conclusions of law.
Yeah.
Sums this up pretty well.
Right.
It really emphasizes that the appellate court's focus is on whether the final judgment was correct.
Right.
and making sure that the law is applied the right way in the end.
Exactly. Okay, so let's distill all of this down into some key takeaways.
Okay.
First, when you're writing or looking at contracts,
yeah,
you got to be super careful with those liquidated damages clauses.
Yeah.
They need to be an honest attempt to estimate potential harm, not a way to punish the other side.
Right.
Second, you always, always have to be ready to prove the actual damages
yeah.
that you suffered in a contract dispute.
Right.
You can't just rely on a penalty clause.
Yeah, that's too risky.
And finally, it's important to understand that appellate courts have the power to check and correct the legal reasoning.
Yeah.
And they can affirm a correct outcome even if the lower court's reasoning wasn't totally accurate.
Exactly. And this case also shows this broader idea that courts don't usually like to enforce penalty clauses.
Okay.
Because they can result in one party getting way more than they actually lost.
Yeah.
You know, the main goal of contract law is to compensate the party that was harmed
right.
for their actual losses, not to punish the other party beyond that.
For sure. And the appellate review process is super important
yes.
because it acts as a check and balance to
yeah.
make sure that the law is applied correctly,
right.
even if there were mistakes made at the trial level.
Exactly.
So this deep dive into the Gary outdoor advertising case has given us some really valuable insights into contract enforcement and the whole appellate process.
Yeah.
We've seen how simple contract terms can turn into complex legal battles
yeah.
with huge financial consequences.
Right.
And that difference between legitimate liquidated damages
yeah.
and unenforceable penalties
wow.
and the need to prove actual harm.
Yeah.
Those are all super important concepts to know.
Absolutely.
So here's something to think about.
Okay.
How might this whole case have turned out differently
if
Gary Outdoor had shown up to court
yeah.
with strong evidence of their lost profits from Sun Lodge's breach?
Why?
That's a really important question to consider as you continue your legal studies.
That's a great question, yeah.
Thanks for bringing this case to our attention.
It was my pleasure.